And the insight into fundamental science that Steve mentioned has a wide range of repercussions spilling out into the field of computing. Paolo Ridelli is a professor of experimental philosophy at the University of Oxford, and he uses the beamline to study a class of materials known as multiferroics. These are materials that respond to both magnetic and electric fields, a response which results in a change in their properties, and an understanding of this change could enable better control of magnetic media in the future. Paolo explained more about these materials.
Essentially, multiferroics are materials that can be addressed using two different fields. At current materials can be read or written, but just based on their magnetic properties. But we know already Einstein's in the theory of relativity stipulated that really magnetism and electricity are two manifestations of the same phenomenon. They can be interchanged with each other if you have an object that goes to speeds comparable to the speed of light. And this is precisely the phenomenon that we are exploiting to create materials that can be read and written electrically, which is a much more efficient, energy-efficient and faster way to address materials, but they can still hold the information magnetically, which is very, very efficient as well.
What would the benefits then be of this, say?
We can make electronic devices and in particular information storage as well as information processing devices that are smaller, they consume less energy. We all know how annoying it is to have a laptop that runs out of battery or an iPod that runs out of battery.
So multiferroic materials are materials where magnetism or electronic fields can be applied in order to change the magnetic properties.
Exactly. So the idea here is that you can apply an electric field rather than magnetic field and change the information state of a bit.
And so could you give some examples then of some multiferroic compounds or materials?
So multiferroics will tend to be oxides, simple oxides, some things like chromium oxide, iron oxide, common rust, or rather the black form of iron oxide called magnetite, also is believed to have multiferroic properties. Simple binary oxide with a simple single metal bound to oxygen, all the way to more complicated structures that we call, for example, hexaferrite, have four or five different metals in them, but they're still rather common place materials that you can find them in fridge magnets if you want.
And so all of these materials that you've mentioned, they vary with complexity, but they could all potentially then have uses in things like data storage.
They could all have uses if we can, first of all, understand how they work, and this is part of what we're trying to do at Diamond, and also integrate with current electronic devices. This is the big challenge, particularly for applied research, because you have to essentially put these different types of materials on a chip that normally only has silicon and silicon oxide. And this is the big technological challenge.
Well, so as you mentioned then, you're looking into, I guess, some of the fundamentals of it to understand it a bit more. And, well, a key issue seems to be the actual temperature that these multiferroics have to run at in order to induce this change in the properties.
It is very much an issue, but we know that we already have materials that run at room temperature or even at higher temperature. Things like chromium oxide, for example, would have the properties at room temperature. But sometimes we also study materials in which these properties are displayed at very low temperature. These materials are the first one in which a new type of phenomenon or underlying principle of multiferroicity is manifest, and then they are the first models that we have to try to understand this phenomenon. This is why we focus sometimes on materials that only work for the moment at low temperature. And if we can crack the secret, in a sense, then we can ask our chemist colleagues to find the right combinations of elements so that these materials will then be able to work at room temperature.
Well, at Diamond, you're using techniques such as X-ray scattering then to look at the particular structures or arrangements. What have you been able to find out then? What's been a recent, perhaps, discovery?
What we can do, for example, is directly see the changes in the magnetic structure as we apply an electric field. The arrangement of the magnetic moments in the crystal sets up a tiny electric field, and this responds to the external electric field. And as you move the internal field, the internal polarization of the crystal by an external force, then the spins follow. So you switch the spin system by applying an electric field. This is the ultimate goal of what we are trying to do. And if we could do that at room temperature in a material that is cheap and can be integrated in electronics, we will have reached the goal of our research.
Understanding then how these particular materials work and function and change their properties like that, what's it then hoped that they could be used for?
So we're hoping to use these materials to store information in a magnetic form, and then to change the information, the state of information, say from 0 to 1 in a bit, But rather than doing it by applying a magnetic field, which is cumbersome and it cannot be really scaled down to very, very tiny dimensions, we could apply an electric field, which is much more localized. It has very low energy consumption when we put it in a device. And we can have a much more compact, faster, and overall better system.
Paolo Ridelli from the University of Oxford.